Farsky Radio.
Gene Simmons now will be releasing a $2,000 box set called The Vault. Extensive package includes over 150 unreleased solo songs. It's called Gene Simmons Vault Experience. So not only will he be selling these solo songs, God knows what that's going to be sound like. The titles are like, you know, Sellout City.
Trademark it.
Who could ever forget Kiss Lunchbox? Some of the great solo work that the group decided they wouldn't do. I'd like to now sing a song for you that I recorded back in 1989. I never released it, called Super Tongue.
Litigation.
Yeah. Litigation, I Will Sue You. That's from the I Will Sue You album I never released. The vault includes 10 discs of solo material, a leather-bound photo book, a Gene Simmons action figure. I'm not lying about that. And In Gene We Trust gold medallion. It's a gold medallion. It's actually, it's pewter, but it's spray-painted gold. And a surprise item, it says here, okay? For a small additional fee of $50,000, Simmons will personally make the delivery to your home. I will personally drive in the Kissmobile and drop off the box set for $2,000. That'll be a $52,000 bill.
You better hope he doesn't slip and fall in your driveway.
Because he's going to come in those big platform heels.
But, of course, that's $75,000 to come in the full makeup.
It's called the Gene Simmons Vault Home Experience.
For $100,000, I will actually DJ your wedding. Your first dance will be husband and wife to the tune Beth that Kiss made famous. Of course, we'll change it to the name of the bride. And that's for $100,000. I'll do that. For $200,000, I'll come to your home, sit down and have dinner with you and the rest of the family. It includes me telling very compelling stories of the road, the groupies, etc. That's $200,000. For $500,000, I'll offer you a vial of my actual sperm for artificial insemination. I call that the Simmons insemination. Simmons insemination. That's trademarked, by the way. Trademarked, it's copyrighted. Insane. If you use that, I will sue you for everything you're worth.
Do you know that I was on a stage and I was working weekends when I was when I had just graduated from college, and it was on a, back then it was an oldies station. So here I am, like 21. I'm on an oldies station because it's the only job that was available, and it was all nights. And I wanted to make some air checks, some tapes to get another job, but I couldn't do it with the oldies. So I decided to, in the middle of the night, like at 3 o'clock in the morning, completely break format and just do like all sorts of bits and like almost a talk show. And I got away with it for like 3 weekend gigs because nobody was listening in the middle of the night. Nobody knew, and I knew that. Until one weekend, it was Saturday night, and I was doing the all-night thing. It was like 2:30 in the morning, and I'm back. I'm just doing all sorts of characters and bits. Make sure I get it on tape, all this. And so I get a phone call on Monday, and the phone call is, I want you to come in and see me. It's the program director. And I was like, what's this? Maybe I'm getting full-time. It's a full-time gig. So I, get all gussied up and drove on over there. I walk in, he goes, you, in here, sit down. I was like, uh-oh, maybe this isn't a job offer. He goes, wait here. Comes in, he brings the general manager in and the owner.
Oh, boy.
And I could swear, to this day, I swear they were trying to not laugh. But they were like, so how's your shift going? I'm like, this is weird. I said, fine, yeah. You know that we had a holiday party on Saturday night? We all went out afterwards, and I was driving home at about 2:30 in the morning. This is the GM with this guy, and he points to the owner. And I was like, it's over. And they said, don't ever do that. There's a radio format for a reason. We're not a wacky top 40 talk station or whatever you were doing. The music comes first. Now get the hell out of here. Save my job. And I left there anyway like a month later. But I was like, you know why I got another job? Because I had that good tape. And that good, that stuff in the, you know, all the good jobs I got back in the day was because a program director was not around and I was able to cut loose. Trump was at the New York City Veterans Day parade, and I didn't see much coverage on it because I think he stuck to the script. I think when you're somebody who a lot of veterans are looking at going, wait a second, this guy didn't go to Vietnam for some quote-unquote bone spurs. You don't want to ad-lib. You don't want to go off the teleprompter. You want to be very respectful. Right, Fake Trump? Sure.
I love our veterans. I know what it's like to go to war. Believe me, I go to war every day with the press. CNN is like Vietnam, that I can tell you. And even though I didn't run through the jungles of Vietnam shooting at anything that moved, I ran through the concrete jungles of New York City in the 70s. From disco to club, from club to club, dodging not bullets, but if you want to call chlamydia and gonorrhea bullets, I dodged the hell out of them. That I can tell you.
Rosh Hashanah is Sunday night. I'm actually going to services. I mean, I've done it before. I don't really like talk about it too much, but... And the reason why I do is because where I go, it's a Reform temple, but they don't have a cantor. So I get up there after the rabbi does his thing, and I get up there, and, you know, because everybody's there, and they're just kind of spent, and I give them a little Hava. Nagila Hava. Nagila Hava. Nagila Beis Bechal. And then I go into, boom, I nail him with the Neil Diamond stuff.
Oh, man.
I go right into the jazz singer.
Wow, that's a 1-2 knockout punch
I go jazz singer soundtrack.
Wow.
And I go right into, hello, my friend, hello. Just called to say hello. I couldn't sleep at all tonight. And I know it's late, and I couldn't wait. Hello. And then they're just losing him, and they're blubbering. There's like, but what, I can't end there because what entertainer leaves, you know, people crying? Who does that? You can't do that as an entertainer. So I go from hello, and they're crying. All of a sudden, boom, 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 da 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 da. All of a sudden, they start clapping. You know. And I'm on the boats and on the planes. They're coming to America. Never looking back again. And they're coming to America. And I get, they're coming to America. And they're singing along. And then at the very end, it's like, they're coming to America today. Today. And then I go like this, USA. And then I walk off the stage, and the music's still playing. You know, the karaoke music's still playing, and the place is going nuts.
Wow!
And I kill them. I mean, it kills them. It slays them.
I got to get tickets for that.
Yeah,
temple.
You should really. I mean, when I killed a guy last year. He was like 90. Got too into the America part, but it is a showstopper. So yeah, I'm going to be at the Temple Sharif Shalom, two shows, 7 and 9. If someone asks me if two people should be married, two men or two women, I'm like, what do I care? What does that have to do with me? How does that affect me?
What was your answer one time to gay marriage? Why should only straight people have to suffer through
it? Right. Why should gay people be exempt from the misery that is the institution of marriage?
That was the best answer ever.
Yeah, that's true. Why should they get off scot-free? Look, if two people live together and they want to make it legal with a piece of paper, that makes them feel better. How does that affect me or you? Once again, what do I care? Look, here's the thing with the institution of marriage, because I've heard this many times. Well, you know, we got to uphold the institution of marriage. The institution of marriage is a joke. Most people I know are on their second or third marriages. Garrett, I wish you the best. I hope it works out for you. I'm just saying that if you look at the statistics, there's a 50-50 shot. Those are the odds, and it's leaning more towards, you know, you ain't going to make it. Let me put it to you this way. If you go skydiving, and you're up in the plane, and someone tells you there's a 50% chance your chute's not going to open, you're not going to jump out of that plane, right?
No, right? You're not.
How long have you been married?
It has been a year and 2 months.
I hope it works out. It's all good. It's still new. Talk to me in 5-10 years. All right? Hersey, I know about you. You have a great wife. Everything's wonderful and all that. I'm just saying this. I'm just saying, you know, think about the skydiving. That's all. The 50-50. That's all. Just to kind of keep that in the back of your mind. Also, too, for those of you who are spending $40,000, $50,000 for the big one-day event where the woman wears the dress just once, Here's my advice. Take that 50 grand, put it in some sort of an account where you can make a little money market account, and call it your marriage counseling account. Because trust me, you're going to have to go to it at some point. And those of you going to marriage counseling, I hate to say it, but you're screwed. All right, if you get to the point where you go to marriage counseling,
it's over.
You might as well start calling the attorneys. Unless that counselor is a wizard.
You're not on the right side of that 50%.
Yeah, you're up at that plane again. That's all I'm saying.
It's already gone up to 75 at that point.
At that point, it's 90. At that point, you're free falling out there, and there's nothing. There's no parachute.
Barsky Radio.